Excellent Movie Adventures. Welcome back. This voice sounds different, doesn't it? Because I'm back. Hello.
Hello.
How are you two?
I'm doing very good.
It's good. I am doing excellent.
Yeah, I am also excellent. When Thomas told me the great news that Zach would be returning,
hola,
I was so excited. I thought it was excellent news. Which, sorry, again, I couldn't make it to WrestleMania at your house.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I was kind of bummed out by the end a little bit, but that's all right.
You know, yeah. I actually thought, so I didn't watch all of day two. I watched all of day one and the end of day two. But I honestly think this is one of the better WrestleManias in the last, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Like, overall, match quality was pretty good.
Yeah,
I didn't
think. It was a pretty decent one.
Like, for me, the worst one that I saw was the women's, like, tag team tournament match or whatever.
Oh, the turmoil on day one.
Yeah, that sucked. But everything else that I saw was pretty good. That being said, I did not see the Fiend thing, which I heard negative comments about.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, I heard day two wasn't as good, but I missed most of day two. Yeah. So.
I'm trying to even remember the final match. What was the final match?
It was Roman Reigns.
Oh, yeah. That's why I was pissed off, because Roman Reigns kept the belt.
Yeah, that didn't bother me. I was okay with it. See, now that he's a villain, I'm on board, man. I got what I wanted, Zach.
I can't stand him.
When he was a good guy, I hated him and you loved him. And now it's the other way around and you hate him and I love him.
I am
Zach's when the perpetual good boy.
I am. When it comes to those hills, I love to hate him.
You know what? I respect how you view wrestling, though, Zach. You're kind of like an old school fan, and I really appreciate
it. It's true, actually, when you think about it.
Because I buy into that kind of stuff, too. Like, you know, heels should be booed.
Yeah, and like, they should be hated.
And, like, good guys should be cheered. But something on my insides...
you're doing it wrong.
Something on my insides just tells me I have to cheer for the villains, you know?
I like
to think that I'm one of them, you know, and that's why,
It's true. That makes
sense. So, like, if I was there, I'd be, like... the guy at the booth, like, cheering on the villain and everybody else hates. Oh, you know?
Trust me, if I was into wrestling, I would love to be a villain.
It'd be so much more fun.
I think so.
They get to have a little bit more fun. So, yeah. Like, I look at, like, AEW, like MJF.
Mm-hmm.
That guy gets to have some fun.
Yeah.
He's a dink, but...
he's having a blast doing it, though.
Oh, yeah. He gets to have a lot of fun.
Have you guys watched anything good recently?
I did.
Oh, yeah, what'd you see?
I have a score to settle between you two.
Oh, okay.
That doesn't sound good.
I watched... holy crap. Just forgot the name of the movie.
Count of Monte Cristo.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, you texted us about it.
I watched The Count of Monte Cristo.
He's looking at me, so this isn't good.
And I want to say that you were both kind of correct, but overall Thomas was correct.
Oh, okay. Yes.
So...
I did say that I don't really remember. I was just trying to talk it through while we were talking.
I love being right.
he goes in there, basically talks to, I can't remember his name, talks to the guy. Then the guy does release him.
The Villefort.
Yeah, yeah. Villefort. It says, you are welcome to go, and he gets ready to leave, and he says, who was the name mentioned? And he ends up mentioning his father's name,
right.
Villefort's father. And then that point he goes, oh. Well, then he burns up the letter.
Uh-huh.
Says, let me give you a ride home in my carriage. And then he puts him in the back of the carriage and locks him in. Then as they're going, he says, you're going off to the, you know, Shadow Deep or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's when he escapes. When
yes, and then he gets him out of the thing.
To put him on the boat.
Put him on the boat, escapes. And then he ends up headbutting one of the guards. He falls in the water, hops on a horse, and then ends up going to his friend's house and then gets back.
There we go. See, that's the thing. I wasn't like... necessarily arguing against you. I just couldn't remember this full sequence of events and when he escaped. So I was trying to like put it together, like what happened where.
Yeah, the way you were explaining it didn't make sense to me. And so I was like, no, that's not right. Yeah. It's not like we were arguing, but.
Yeah. I just couldn't remember. I just wanted
to show you the right way.
Well, at least now I know what happened.
Yeah.
In this movie I've seen like a bunch of times.
Yeah.
That's why I was saying you were somewhat right, because he does get released until he mentions the father's name, and then that screwed him over.
Well, see, that I just couldn't remember how he got out of the carriage, because like, I remember him like sending him, and I remember him getting in the carriage and then like closing the door and him like looking back through the window, you know what I mean? But then I just, for whatever reason, spaced everything in the middle there. Yeah. And then the next thing I knew, he's in his friend's house. You know what I mean? Like, asking him, like, what happened or whatever. You know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's settled now. We know what happened.
Yeah.
But that's why I was confused. Maybe I was like, I must have been doing something or got up to, I don't know, pee.
Yeah.
And just didn't pause the movie or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I watched the show called 60 Days In. Have you guys seen that?
Mm-mm.
It's about these regular civilians that go into jail voluntarily to, like, see where the drugs are coming from and what gang things are going on and just overall how the COs are, like, treating the inmates and stuff. It's wild. Like,
interesting.
Yeah. There's this one dude, he's the biggest dink. He's supposed to be, like, finding out the drugs and everything that's going on, and they have the signal to get out and if things are getting crazy or whatnot. And so, you, like, I don't know how long he's actually in for. It doesn't seem like very long, like a few days, maybe a week at most. And he finds out, like, how they're smuggling drugs in, and so immediately he goes over and he's like, oh, you know, gives them the sign. And he's like, gotta get out of here, and then they send people in, like the producers, because the prisoners know that there's this film crew there, and they're just like, hey, you know, is everything okay? We need you to sign something for us. And he's just like, no, no. And then he's just pissed off they didn't send in the actual sheriff guy. And then he's like, goes over to the phone and like, I'm going to blow this whole thing up. I'm going to make sure everyone knows there's going to be riots and all this stuff. If you don't get the sheriff in here right now. And so they're like, oh, okay. And then they pull him out, and then they just shove him out the door. Don't let him talk to the sheriff at all. And the sheriff's like, no, he's not going to threaten me like that. That's not how this works. And then he just gets kicked out. Like, he's supposed to be in there for 60 days. And he's just like, nope. And so that, yeah, it's wild. And then there's like,
so it's like a docuseries, or that's just the premise for the show?
It's like a docuseries. Like, it's legit. Yeah. Like the, inmates are beating the crap out of each other.
Where did you watch it?
Netflix.
Oh.
It's really good. Huh, it's interesting. Yeah, check it out. It's pretty interesting. Apparently, there's 5 seasons, and they only have 1 on Netflix.
Huh.
It's wild, though. It's cool. And then I also watched The Nevers, which is awesome. HBO, man. They're knocking it out with these shows.
Dude, Netflix added a ton of stuff recently, too, that I just wanted to see, like, a bunch of it. And I haven't watched any of it.
I haven't been on Netflix in forever.
Yeah. I have continued my South Park watch through.
Yeah.
It's going pretty well so far. I recently watched the one where Kyle sees the Passion of the Christ for the first time. And basically, Cartman is like following Mel Gibson as if Mel Gibson is Hitler. And like the movie is like his way of telling the world about all the evils of the Jews. And he like basically starts up like a new like Reich movement essentially. And anyway, the movie ends like, so Stan and Kenny decide, hey, we need to see this. Everybody's seeing this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they go to see it and they think it sucks. So they decide they want to get their $18 back. So they ask for a refund, and he's like, sorry, you watched the whole movie, so I can't do anything about you. You have to take it up with the producers. And they're like, well, who produced it? Mel Gibson. So they go to Malibu to get their money back from Mel Gibson, and he's just, like, crazy. He's a crazy person. He's like, oh, my nipples, you must have squeezed them. Like, he says, like, the weirdest stuff, and he ends up getting in, like, a Mad Max truck and chasing them back to South Park. And the episode basically crescendos with everybody seeing how crazy Mel Gibson is, and they're like, Kyle decides, like, that's the guy who made the movie that has me all worried about my religion and stuff? This guy's nuts. And he then proceeds to, like, spray his own feces all over Cartman's face.
Oh, my gosh.
Anyway, it's an out-of-control episode, but it's really funny. And what else? I feel like I watched another one. Oh, yeah. The episode Fun with Weapons, where the kids all buy, like, actual ninja weapons from, like, a county fair. And they're, like, fighting, and they end up like throwing a throwing star and hitting Butters in the eye, and it like goes into his eye, and they don't want to get in trouble, so they dress him up like a dog. So they get like crazy glue, and they're shaving Stan's dog and gluing the dog's fur to Butters, and he's like crying the whole time so they can take him to a vet so the blind veterinarian will work on him and fix his eye.
Jeez.
Anyway, it's pretty hilarious. Like the whole thing is like the animation is like from an anime in that episode. It's pretty funny. Yeah, there's this part where Cartman decides to use his ninja powers to be invisible and sneak past everyone. And he's like, here, hold this. And he like takes his clothes off and hands them to him. This way no one will see me. And then it like shows like from their view, he's invisible because they're all like in their imagination. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But then he's like trying to sneak past in front of this stage and everybody sees him like just this naked kid, like fat kid, like trying to like sneak past everybody. And then everybody's more upset about him being nude at this like fairground thing that was broadcast on local TV than they were about like these kids getting weapons and injuring Butters. And I'm pretty sure Butters gets grounded for it. Because of course he does.
Yeah.
I need to start watching that.
I've continued the King of Queens watch through also.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the show I've been watching with Lizzie. That show is so funny, man. It's hilarious. And, yeah, just can't get enough of that Arthur Spooner, man. They need to put more of him in every episode. He's brilliant. Aside from that, I watched two actual movies this week. Both of them are older movies, so I haven't really watched anything new recently. Anyway, I watched The Fugitive.
Oh, okay.
Which is a great movie.
Yeah.
And a movie that I remembered. I remember it pretty well. And in my head, I have it classified as just like a bad movie. You know what I mean? But after rewatching it, I think the movie is surprising. And that movie is The Nutty Professor.
The Eddie Murphy one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's better than people remember it being. Because that movie like has a decent amount of like heart behind it.
Yeah.
You know, like the Professor Clump, like the main character, is pretty endearing. Like you really feel for him, like throughout the movie.
They do a good job of like made fun of, and you almost feel bad for him.
They do a good job of like getting you on his side and stuff,
especially during the comedy moment.
Yeah,
where what's his name?
Is it Chappelle?
Yeah, Dave Chappelle. Yeah, he's playing that comedian, doing all the jokes at him and stuff.
You mean he's playing himself?
Pretty much, yes.
But all the jokes are just really bad.
Yeah.
So I assume Eddie Murphy wrote them. Zing! Nah, I think Eddie Murphy's funny. I mean, I assume he wrote that movie. I didn't look up the credits or anything, but I assume it's one of his projects.
I'm pretty sure it is, too.
But anyway, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
My favorite part of that movie is around the dinner table.
Oh, the fart scene.
Well,
that's the most iconic thing from that movie. That's what everyone remembers.
The little boy.
Hercules. Yeah, exactly.
The dad, oh, now look what you made me do. I done crap myself. Grandma's out there calling him a wussy.
Did you watch anything else, Zach?
No, watch that. Note? We watched, me and Kara have been watching Falcon and Winter Soldier. Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm watching that.
Any good?
It's pretty good. I felt like the last episode was very anticlimactic.
Mm.
It's the second to last episode. You'd think that they would be doing something.
Mm-hmm.
And it just was like, it ended. And I even looked at Karen. I was like, that was a boring episode. That was kind of like not even worthwhile.
So I'm the wrong person for anyone to ask about like these new Disney TV series. Mm. Because by and large, everybody seems to love them, like them, whatever, you know. I do not care for any of them. The Mandalorian, the WandaVision, and I haven't watched this new one at all, The Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't, like, interest me. Like, I'm down to, like, try it out and give it a watch, but I tried to watch the other ones and never finished them. Like, that feeling that you had at the end of that episode, that's how I feel about every episode.
That makes sense.
Like, after I watch it, even if it's not boring, it doesn't make me want to come back and watch the next one.
Yeah.
You know? It doesn't have, like, that magic from Stranger Things season one or, you know, like, something happens and you're like, oh man, I can't wait until watch the next one. You know, I mean, in Netflix, you don't have to wait a week, so you can just watch it right away. But I would wait a week and then watch the next episode. You know what I mean? So,
see, and that's, I was actually wondering that with Marvel. As much as I love it, I'm just trying to figure out, have they plateaued? Like, have they hit their high point?
And I don't know.
Are they going to go?
I'm going to pass judgment when I see the next movie.
That's kind of how I am. I'm waiting to see, because I've heard there's a lot planned for the next Spider-Man and Doctor Strange. Mm-hmm. Like, that is supposed to kick off.
And another Captain America with that new guy.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're
Anthony Mackie or Sebastian Stan.
No, the new Captain America from, no. Isn't it?
Well, he's the new Captain America, but he actually loses the shield. Well, he just lost the shield in the last episode I watched. I haven't watched the finale yet, so I don't know how it ends, but he lost the shield.
So there's a new Captain America.
Yeah. Yes, and it sounds like basically it's...
Who is it?
They don't know yet.
It's a guy from a comic. It's a legit guy from a comic.
Well, no, I'm saying like who the actor.
Oh, it's Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell's son.
Oh, uh-huh. Oliver Hudson?
No. Another guy. Maybe that's his name.
Yeah, because I don't think either of those kids are actually his.
No, it's their legit child. He looks exactly like Kurt Russell, almost. I can't remember his name. He's gotten a lot of flack on social media, though. Like, he had to delete his Instagram account, I think, or Twitter account, because of how much people were just coming after him. But in the fifth episode, the beginning of that, he lost the shield.
Oh, Wyatt Russell?
There you go. Yep. He lost the shield and the mantle of Captain America.
I guess he kind of looks like him.
Hmm.
But I did hear that they are doing a Captain America 4. From what I understand, is Anthony Mackie is supposed to, or the Falcon, is supposed to finally pick up the mantle of Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
And then he passes the mantle of the Falcon onto someone else.
Oh.
So.
Hmm.
But I, like I said, I haven't watched the last episode yet. So
I'm not down with all this mantle passing.
Yeah.
People feel need like, to come up with their own gimmick.
Yeah, I feel like Marvel's reaching the summit.
That's what I was wondering. And like I said, Phase 4 was supposed to be kicked off with...
So Wyatt Russell, he was in Overlord.
Okay.
He's one of the main characters in that. Apparently, he was in 22 Jump Street. He plays a character named Zook.
Huh.
I don't remember that at all. A movie called The Good Lord Bird. He hasn't been in much.
I'm not saying he's a horrible actor. Just people hated him as Captain America. Yeah. But, no.
He looks goofy. A picture I saw of him as Captain America.
Yeah.
He looks really goofy.
Maybe that's maybe that's kind of the point, though, is just, you know, because he's not the right guy.
Well, yeah. That could be. But Phase 4 was supposed to be kicked off with Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
And then COVID hit.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. And so they actually kicked off Phase 4 with WandaVision and then Falcon and Winter Soldier. Mm. Those were supposed to be towards the middle of Phase 4. And so they kind of got things out of whack. So I heard that they're really pushing for a big Phase 4 reveal with Spider-Man and the next Doctor Strange. So I'll wait. I'll pass my judgment when those two come out. After that, I'll decide whether they've... I mean, you know me. I'll still watch them as they come out. But I'll wait to see if they plateau.
Yeah, I might become I might become more choosy with which ones I end up seeing.
Yeah.
Because something tells me the Black Widow is not going to be very good. Like, I've seen those previews, like, multiple times now.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it's just because I've seen them so many times. But, like, even the first time I saw it, I don't remember being, like, as excited for it as I was for others.
It's kind of how I am. And I think the reason I'm not excited for it is because we already know she's dead.
That's true. So, why do I care what happened before she died?
Yeah,
I know how it ends.
This is going to be a prequel unless somehow they're trying to bring her back. I don't know.
Doctor Strange goes to another universe.
Yeah, multiverse, you know, madness of the multiverse, and somehow gets to bring her back. I don't know.
I mean, she's been a big name A-list celebrity since before all of this.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So I would imagine,
she might want to move on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I were her, I would probably want to do something else.
Yeah.
Take a break for a little bit, you know?
I don't know. I'm intrigued to see where it goes.
Yeah.
See what happens.
But I mean, I'm still going to want to see, like, you know, Guardians 3, the next Thor movie.
Yeah.
All that kind of Love and Thunder. I want to see that really bad.
Which they just announced that, what's his name? From Gladiator.
Russell Crowe?
Yeah, Russell Crowe. He just got the actor spot for Zeus in Love and Thunder.
Yeah. Huh.
So he's going to play Zeus in Love and Thunder.
I could see it.
Russell Crowe is an amazing actor.
He's going to have to lose a little bit of weight, though.
Yes. Yes.
He could do it. He's done it before.
Which, and then they announced that they're doing a holiday special of Guardians for this upcoming holiday season, I believe.
Hmm.
And then push that out along with Guardians 3.
You can tell how excited we sound about that.
Well, I'm excited for it because...
Well, what is a holiday special? Well, yeah, but what is a holiday special? Is it a 45-minute short?
It'll be like an hour short, yeah. Just an hour short type thing. But James Gunn is behind it all. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm okay with it. It's not like they're just passing the mantle on to another director.
Well, yeah, they rehired him and signed him back on officially. Yeah. That happened before 2020. That's kind of old news now, but...
But he's the person who makes those movies.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But so I'm excited to see where it goes. They've got a lot planned, but like I said, though, have they already plateaued with Endgame? I mean, everything led up to Avengers, you know, 3 and 4. So
yeah,
where can they go from here?
Yeah,
I mean, they're pretty high up on the roller coaster.
It's true.
You know, especially most of the time when you're pretty high up, you don't go higher up. Generally, it's time to go down. Yes.
Well, and what worries me too about Thor is he's I think that's his last movie.
Yeah,
and they're gonna pass it on to what's her bucket.
Yeah, so this is in Marvel Comics they do pass mantles around, like mm-hmm. that does happen.
Yes,
so I understand that that's like what they're doing is kind of like what they're
trying
the comics,
to follow the comics,
but I would rather them like, let's see some new heroes. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Let's not see somebody pretending to be. Yeah, because while it's something they do in the comics, it's not, from a moviegoer standpoint, it's not that interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, here I was just going to relate it to Red Dead, but I don't want to spoil the ending for you. It's like, let me try to figure out a different example. So it's like you learn to love a character, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like, say it's Wolverine, right? We love Hubert Jackman as Wolverine. Say he then like takes that's right. So say he then like,
is that his real name?
Takes off his hair helmet. No, it's not. I just think it's funny. I think it's just funny. Hugh. Yeah. I think that it probably was Hubert and he probably had it changed.
He's like, I gotta deal with this shit.
Who wants to be named Hubert, right? It would make sense.
It would make sense.
Anyway, I think, like, imagine him as Wolverine, right? We're all used to it. What if, like, all of a sudden, he takes off his Wolverine little hat, his fake molded hair or whatever. I know he doesn't wear the helmet or the mask in the movies, but he takes it off, right? And then he hands it to some other guy who has also been in the movies, right? So he's a character we're familiar with as a different hero. And then that guy puts it on, and he's like, all right, I'm Wolverine now. Is it the same Wolverine? So now when the next Logan movie comes out, are you intrigued to see it? Because I'm not.
That was the issue with Wyatt Russell.
That's what I'm saying.
So the very first episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, basically it ends that it's the cliffhanger of the first episode.
Yeah,
he comes walking out as Captain America, and everybody's like, what? Immediately, like... Everybody stormed social media and was like, no, no. Like, why would you even try to even, like, it pissed so many people off because it's not Chris Evans. Okay. I get what they were trying to do.
Yeah, I get it too. That doesn't even bother me that they did that. I'm more upset at the idea. I would understand that Anthony Mackie would want to be Captain America and not the Falcon because the Falcon sucks. Yeah. But Sebastian Stan is one of the coolest characters in mm-hmm. all of the films. The Winter Soldier? That's mm-hmm. a way cooler name than Captain America.
Yeah.
And he has that crazy backstory. Like, that is a cool character. If I was the Winter Soldier, and they were trying to write me into the next Captain America, I'd be like, yeah, no, thank you.
Oh, no, he's going to stay Winter Soldier.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though.
Yeah, yeah, he's not giving up his name.
Like, I want to see stuff that's focused around other heroes.
Yes.
Like, yeah, have Captain America, like, move along, but instead of actually, like, passing down the mantle by, like, somebody else picks up the shield and puts the helmet on, like, let's just make somebody else step into that important role as the superhero they currently are. Mm-hmm. Like, if the Winter Soldier becomes a more important person, you know what I mean? And he's now leading a team of Avengers.
Yeah.
That interests me way more than if he picks up the shield.
Yeah.
I don't give a crap about the shield.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, it's not that cool of a weapon. I'm sorry. People bounce off of it. It's a Frisbee.
I was just going to say it's like
a Frisbee. Made of the strongest metal in the world.
Yeah, it's like a Frisbee hat. It's one of the lamest powers, I'm telling you. Oh, man. All right. Well, I guess we could use that to our transition.
Good segue.
We got to get our ad spot in first. So we'll do that and we'll be right back. And now we're back.
Woo! That was awkward.
The transition is so quick, though.
We told you not to take off your pants, Zach.
Dang it. The episode of The Office where they make Dwight take his pants and clothes off. That's hilarious. Have you seen that?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, man. There's another one where they're like recording a meeting. Mm-hmm. And Jim just pretends like Dwight's taking his pants off. And Dwight's like, no, I'm not. That didn't actually happen or whatever. Yeah. And then he's like, now I'm cutting off Phyllis's head. And he goes like way too far with it. And nobody thinks it's funny anymore. Or maybe it's Andy who does that. Goes over the line. I don't know. I don't remember what all happens.
Yeah. That show's hilarious.
Yeah.
It is Andy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Jim's making fun of Dwight. Says, and then Andy jumps on board.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Put your pants back on, Dwight. What? I am not removing my pants. Oh, man. That's like too funny.
It's like the same thing. This is my all-time favorite scene on that is where Jim gets the complaint that he's too rough or whatever on the phone. And then same thing about Dwight. So they sit down with him. Steve Carell's character?
Michael Scott.
Yeah, Michael Scott sits down with him and he does a practice and he goes, all right, I want you to sell paper to him. And Jim just turns around and was just like, you know, hi, my name's Buttlicker. And he goes, Buttlicker? What's the name? What kind of name is Buttlicker?
How dare me, you, sir? Yeah.
And then he finally just, and it's a whole role play. And he's like, you know what? Let me talk to your manager. He gets on the phone and goes, I'm willing right now to spend $1 million on paper if you fire that guy who I just talked to. No, don't do it. Dwight's like, don't do it.
Stop. Yeah, and Michael Scott's an idiot, so he like all of a sudden is thinking it's a real sale and he's going to fire Dwight.
And Dwight's like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. It's $1 million sale.
Oh, man. All right, well, our ruined transition. Crazy flying hat, Frisbee hat.
Frisbee hat.
Yeah. So this week, we watched the new Mortal Kombat. We just watched it.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. Before we dive into that, though, did you either of you guys watch any of the original movies?
Yes.
So Zach, before he took his hiatus, wanted to watch these, and I'm so glad he didn't pick them because I did not want to watch them.
So we had talked about it, and I had recently watched the first one.
Yeah.
At that time. That was a while ago.
I haven't watched Annihilation in a long time. I only got.
I don't want to watch Annihilation. That movie is rough.
It's been a minute since I've seen that one.
I hadn't seen them originally, but then I saw the trailer for this one. And I'm like, I'll watch this one. It looks good.
I just remember from Annihilation, the one thing that really bugged me is when Jax removes his arms.
Like yeah,
he kind of just. It's like, oh, this doesn't feel right, and he removes them, and I'm like. What? You can't just remove your arms like that. Like,
well, it's weird because they're like, he has well, it's weird because he like, when we meet him in that movie, I remember this, he's like on the surgical table and he has these metal arms that have supposedly been like surgically mounted to his skeleton. Mm-hmm. Right. And he's like smashing stuff with him the whole movie and stuff. And then, yeah, when he goes to peel them off, it's just the fake rubber arms. He just pulls them off.
Uh-huh. He just literally pulls them off.
They just come off like you're taking off a jacket.
They hit the floor.
You got to clean them once in a while.
And then he punches. Yeah,
they're not attached. He's just wearing them. Yeah. Like,
and then he punches someone and he goes, oh, that feels much better. And I'm like,
How does nobody that feel better? Exactly. Like, nobody wants to see Jax with his real arms. We all want to see metal arms and him clapping somebody's head. That's what we want to see.
Which I remember playing the video games, and I know like Mortal Kombat 1, I believe it's just Jax with normal arms.
Oh, is it?
And then Mortal Kombat 2, he gets metal arms. And so that's where it was, but it's like the movies did it backwards. It's like, I don't know.
Well, he's not even in the first movie.
He was at the very first.
Oh, was he?
Remember,
probably a different actor too.
He's with, yeah, it is. He's with Sonya, and then Sonya gets on the ship.
Oh, you're right, at the nightclub when they're chasing Kano.
And he's like, Sonya, get back here, and then you don't see him again. Oh. She gets on the ship, it goes away, and then you never see Jax again until the second movie, and it's completely different.
In the first movie, I remember Sonya is upset because Kano killed her partner.
Yes.
She's a bad partner. She just leaves Jax there. Uh-huh. Like, who knows how many other goons are there?
Yeah, no wonder the first partner got killed.
Exactly.
It wasn't her first partner. She's just burning through him.
So the first Mortal Kombat movie, I'm not going to get into any of the stuff from Annihilation unless there's something specifically that you want to talk about. But the first one, I feel like that movie was cast pretty well.
It was.
So for the Christopher 90s. Lambert as Lord Raiden, yes, it's a whitewash, but I mean, it's Christopher Lambert. And I mean, it's an over-the-top performance kind of, but yeah. I like it. It's nostalgia for me because I liked that movie as a little kid, you know? But and it's a big name to draw into the movie, right? And then Robin Shou, or however you say his name, as Liu Kang, I've always thought, like, when I think Liu Kang, even though I'm familiar that like he looks different in most of the video games, that's just who I picture.
Yeah.
Is the guy from Surf Ninjas. That's who I picture.
I was going to say, I think of him off of Chris Farley's...
Beverly Hills Ninja?
Yeah, Beverly Hills Ninja. Every time I see him on there, I think Liu Kang.
I kind of was hoping that he would have some kind of like cameo in this movie.
Yeah.
Because he was in both films and he was great. Like, I thought he was good in those movies. I don't know. Anyway,
even the guy who played Shang Tsung was great.
Yeah, I was gonna say the guy who played Shang Tsung was great. I don't see him on here. Oh yeah,
Carrie Hiroki Tagawa.
Yeah, Lyndon Ashby, probably who played Johnny Cage, was so good. And then Bridget Wilson as Sonya Blade, also amazing. And then Talisa Soto was Kitana, and those are the people I think that stood out. Trevor Goddard as Kano. I remember him being like a despicable character and believing that he was Kano when I was a kid, but the Kano in the movie we just watched was so amazing and so much better. So
much better.
He wins the coin flip. I will say this, just comparing like the old movie to the new movie, like the costumes for Sub-Zero and Scorpion in the 95 film, although they're basically the same, I feel like they're something that a ninja would actually wear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in this contest, like, you know you're going to be fighting. They seem, like, less, I don't know, heavy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, some of the armor that Sub-Zero is wearing in this movie, it's, like, obviously heavy metal armor. You know what I mean? And he's, like, a crazy undead kind of being, I guess. So he probably has, like, some super strength or whatever. But... also, it kind of like, maybe you guys feel differently, but it makes him look small in some parts. Like the part where he fights Jax in the warehouse and it like shows him standing there and he like, the like shoulder pads kind of flip up.
Yeah.
They look large and it makes him look smaller. Whereas I feel like the Scorpion and Sub-Zero from the original movie, although they were played by what looks like just two white dudes, they seemed like more menacing characters, like bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Yeah. But I also thought that they did a good job in those movies, even though their costumes were just color flips, of making them look different in like their face parts that it shows above the mask. You know, because like Scorpion's eyes were like white.
Yeah.
You know? And I think Sub-Zero has like this scar on his face, or maybe that's in the second one when he's like his son or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, like they do a good job of like making it seem like, you know, these are crazy looking ninjas or whatever, even though they're basically wearing the same costume. I do like that they're wearing different costumes in this movie, but I also don't like that the colors are so muted. I think one of the things that's so great about the games is how colorful all the characters are.
Yeah.
And like, it's weird because like, I don't really want to mean this as like a criticism because I do really like, I don't know. In my opinion, I think the new movie is pretty rad.
Yeah.
It might be the best comic book movie. Or not comic book, video game movie.
That's not hard to beat.
I know. There's not a lot of competition there, but I'm just saying, like, it's near the top of that heap of films. You know, it's like, it's not a tier or a list or a ladder. It's a heap. Everything's at the bottom. But I think, like, this movie is kind of weird, and like they lean into like the colorful, like Liu Kang throws fire and like Kung Lao comes flying up out of the ground.
Right.
He teleports in, spinning in on his hat. How cool is that? It's straight awesome. Out of the video games. And then like Sub-Zero's not wearing blue.
Yeah, I was
weird, right? Yeah. Like he's doing all this cool ice stuff and the effects look great, but then he's not dressed in blue and Scorpion's not in the it's kind
gold
of
yellow.
Yeah, it's more of like a brown yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he does look cool. Both for sure. Don't get me wrong, the costumes look great.
Yeah.
In this film. And like they lean so hard into it for Cabal. His costume is amazing.
So, I don't know most of these characters, but when I saw him, I was like, that is a cool hunter guardian.
it's straight out of the games.
Yeah.
Like, that's exactly what he looks like in the games. It's rad. But yes, it looks just like a hunter guardian from Destiny. It looks exactly like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know which design came first, because Cabal's been around for a long time, obviously.
Sure. Yeah.
But that helmet looks just like a hunter helmet. Yeah, I thought it's kind of weird that they did that, you know? And then, like, the powers that they get, like, Sonya Blade's things, like she shoots off her wrists or whatever. That's from the newer games.
Yes.
She couldn't do that in the original games. So
yeah, I believe she was just a straight fighter in the old games.
Yeah. Well, she did that kiss of death thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she, I mean, everybody has like a power of some kind, you know, and that was hers. But like in the games, she generally uses like gadgets and stuff. But in the newer ones, she can do that. But it's like from these like wrist rocket things because she's like gadgets and stuff, you know?
Kind of like Mega Man.
Yeah, just kind of like Mega Man. Anyway, I just think it's weird that like they pick and choose like which things they're going to lean into like really hard.
Yeah.
And then the things that you think they would, they don't. And sometimes I appreciate like how they change things slightly. You know what I mean?
To make it their own thing.
Yeah, to make it their own. And then other times it's just like I kind of wish like,
Stick to it.
They should have just taken right out of the video game. Like at the very end when Scorpion teleports.
Yeah.
Like why doesn't he just go sink straight through the floor?
Yeah.
That would have been so sick.
Just go right back to hell.
Yeah.
That way.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. It's a missed opportunity. I see what they were doing though. You know, like I understand why they did what they did. It makes sense to me, but anyway.
I do like how they brought like at the start of the movie, how they brought the legend of Sub-Zero and Scorpion. Cause they do that in the games.
Mm-hmm.
They allude
to it in the 95 movie too.
Oh, do they?
If you remember on the boat, they're about to fight each other.
That's
and then
right.
Shang Tsung stops them. And somebody's like, I think Johnny Cage asks a question and then Raiden tells him like they're mortal enemies or something.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, even in the games, like the new one that I'm playing Mortal Kombat 11.
Mm-hmm.
There's parts where they actually team up because they're from clans, and then this one, they're both of their clans are at the point of extinction.
Mm-hmm.
So they actually team up to try to stop that. But then, you know, and then you get to actually fight as the clan member Sub-Zero and Scorpion without the mask and stuff like how it was at the first of this movie.
Huh.
And then basically their older selves, that's when they finally turn into Sub-Zero and Scorpion with the mass and all the powers and stuff. But I just thought it was really cool how they went and actually alluded to the clans and before they were Sub-Zero and Scorpion, who they actually were. And
yeah, I don't know a ton about the backstory of these characters. I basically have pieced together like from the movies I've seen.
Yeah.
And then because our friend Derek, I haven't talked to him in a long time, but he's like way into fighting games. And so just from knowing him, I've learned some of the history of these. So like, I know like in this new movie, spoiler or non-spoiler. I mean, it's in the game.
Yeah, at this point it's on HBO Max. I say we go full spoilers.
Okay. You've been warned right here. We're going full spoilers.
That's just spoiler sound.
I mean, it's on HBO Max. If anybody wanted to see it at this point, they would have watched
it. There's
it's only the second day.
Well, yeah, but this isn't
some people
come out.
Work, Zach.
This is a huge movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it came out Friday. So that's day one, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So by the time this comes out, it will have been out for 5 days.
Yeah, that's true.
Anybody who wants to watch it, they'll watch it by now.
Okay. Yeah. So
it's your fault if you haven't.
It's true.
So in the games, from what I understand, Sub-Zero does kill Scorpion's clan.
Mm-hmm.
To the near the point of extinction. He kills Sub-Zero, Scorpion's family, just like what happened mm-hmm. in the movie. And I forgot the point I was going to make. Oh, yeah, just because I know some of the backstory. So that is, like, from the games mm-hmm. directly. You know what I mean?
See, and that's, and I guess I should mention in the new one, in this Mortal Kombat 11, there's been, I can't remember who is the main antagonist, but they've set up a alternate timeline. And so that's what it is. It's some weird time god. And she's basically set up an alternate timeline. And it's actually kind of cool. So you've got these whole new effects like Kung Lao and what's his name?
Liu Kang.
Liu Kang. They actually are zombies at this point.
Yeah, because they died in like two games earlier,
yes,
right?
Yeah, they died and they got brought back as zombies. And they're actually bad. They're actually working. They're actually evil and bad. And it's actually cool. So in this one, they go back to basically the original movie. Huh. And they're in the middle of the Mortal Kombat. And they actually get yanked out and brought into the current timeline. So now you've got two old 95 timeline with the current timeline fighting each other.
Does he look like Liu Kang from the movie?
No. No. Bummer. No. But it was actually really cool because the timeline, how it works out. I'm like, man, this like is like very similar to the movie and stuff. But it was actually really cool. So I should set that up in this one. There's an alternate timeline and kind of some things happen and different things.
Yeah. So the storytelling I've heard has been really good over the last few games.
Oh, yeah.
For Mortal Kombat, which kind of makes like, the nerd in me is like, oh man, that sounds like a cool story. I want to go in and play that. But the real me is like, yeah, I'm not going to go back and play those. One, I'm not good at them. And two, that's a that's a massive undertaking just to like go through that story. So I will just, you know,
I will tell you this.
When they introduce new characters, I get
you'll jump in
notified.
On
I'll watch a YouTube video of people doing all their like what do they call them? Fatalities and stuff. That's all I'm interested in.
The storylines are actually pretty short. You know how much I play video games.
Yeah.
And I'm already like 75% of the way through on Mortal Kombat. So the storylines aren't very in depth. They're very short and easy, but it's actually, I don't know. They're fun to play. I think it's a blast. And you don't have to be good at that game. It's called button smashing. That's what I do, and I win every game.
Some people are good.
Yes.
Right, but I enjoy, like, you know, beating a game. I'm not playing Madden, turning all the sliders for defense down and the sliders for offense all the way up.
I don't turn the sliders down for defense. I just turn some sliders up for offense.
I'm pretty proud of the fact that I beat Sekiro. That's a hard game, and I beat that. That took a lot of work.
Well, like how Zach was saying, you just smash buttons, and then I liked how in this movie Kano was like, oh, you're just doing the same move over and over again.
That is
can you
funny.
Do anything else?
So
that was awesome.
Yeah, I loved that in this movie they did a way better job of recreating stuff from the games in the movie, and they did it in like a fun way. Like there are actual fatalities, which in the first movie there are a few. Yes. But nothing like what's in this movie. Yeah. Like this one movie has the over the top fatalities that
like are in the
people
games.
Love.
Yeah,
and they're actually from the games.
Like, I like how was it Liu Kang where he does his fatality and then he goes, fatality.
Yeah. So in the original movie, my favorite death is when Johnny Cage kills Scorpion because they're in Scorpion's realm, so it's like guts everywhere and everything's like on fire, and he ends up like. Somehow he throws like a shield or something like into his head.
Yeah.
Man, shields and hats are just dangerous, bro. And like it cuts his head open and then there's like lava in his head or something and it explodes.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, this little autographed picture of Johnny Cage like lands on his corpse.
That's right. Yeah. Yes.
And that to me, that's my favorite thing from that movie.
That's a great throwback to the video games on that.
Yeah, like it's hilarious that that's in the movie. But that's really the only one that's like that. I don't know. That for me is like such a video game moment that's in that movie. Everything else is just meh-ish.
That and in was it in Annihilation when it first? No, it was in the original one where he does the splits, hits Goro in the nuts.
Yeah, that's the original one. Yeah,
that was. I thought that was a great throwback to the video games because I remember that was always Johnny Cage's cheap shot move.
Mm-hmm.
He'd do the splits and go right for the nuts.
Make that noise.
Uh huh. Uh huh.
Oh man. Yeah, there's some great stuff. Also, the original movie was a pretty massive hit, if I remember.
Yes.
Or at least I remember thinking so as a kid. So it was filmed on just an $18 million budget, and it made $122 million. Cool. So opening weekend was $23 million. So it made more than its money back opening weekend, and then worldwide gross was $122 million. So it was a huge hit.
It's crazy.
This movie, let's see how opening weekend is going. I would imagine not the best.
Well, yeah.
Also, the weekend's not even over at the time of this recording, so they might not even have updated numbers.
So wait,
they don't have a budget listed for this?
How much did you said it made $122 million?
Yeah.
Let's put it in perspective for Annihilation, which was made 2 years later, because Mortal Kombat was 95, right?
Yes.
So this was 2 years later, $30 million budget, they did 51.
Ooh.
Wow.
That was for Annihilation.
But that movie suffered tremendously. Like, they couldn't
recast.
Most of the cast didn't come back. In fact, the only person who did was Liu Kang, right?
And Kitana.
Oh, yeah, and person who played Kitana. Because yes. Sonya was recast. Johnny Cage technically came back, but they kill him off in, like, the first 5 minutes of the film.
Raiden was recast.
Everyone else was dead.
Jax was recast.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, he wasn't really an important character in the first movie, so they were always going to recast him. So, anyway, right now there's no budget listed right now on IMDb for it, and it has a worldwide total right now of $19
million. Huh.
So that's what's been reported so far.
Actually, take that back. Johnny Cage was even recast.
Oh, was he?
Yep.
And then they kill him off.
And they kill him off in the first whatever. But yeah, he was actually recast.
Maybe you just don't notice because you're wearing sunglasses the whole time. Oh, man. All right. So this new movie, I don't know. I'm just kind of all over the place with like my thoughts about it. So I watched it yesterday, as I told you guys, and then again today. I was worried about watching it yesterday because I was like, oh, what if it sucks? And then I have to sit through it again tomorrow and I'm not going to be able to make it. But I ended up enjoying it. I feel like, so we talked about the cast in the original movie and how it's actually pretty good. I feel like the cast in this movie is great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The star of the show is Josh Lawson, who plays Kano.
Oh, for sure.
He is the best thing about the movie.
He stole the show.
Yeah. I was gonna say, far and away, he's my favorite character.
Jessica McNamee plays Sonya Blade. Louis Tan plays Cole Young, who's the main character. Joe Taslim as Bi-Han. Mikad Brooks is Jax.
So,
and then I'm probably going to butcher this name. Tadanobu Asano as Lord Raiden. And then Hiroyuki Sanada as Scorpion. And Chin Han as Shang Tsung. He was good too.
Mm-hmm.
The list is so long. Ludi.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah.
It's Sub-Zero. Did you mention that?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I did. Ludi Lin as Liu Kang. I thought that was a great casting too.
Mm-hmm.
Like when his silhouette comes up over the movie, cause I didn't even know he was in the film.
Yeah.
I was like hoping that they got the original actor to come back, you know, and then they didn't. And I was disappointed at first, but he's really good.
Yeah.
And, Max Huang plays Kung Lao. And that basically rounds out anybody who's actually important.
Yeah.
Like there's a few more like Netherrealm people on here, but.
Yeah, not very important.
Yeah, the makeup for Melina was amazing.
Yeah, that was really good.
And I found the budget for this movie.
Oh, what was it?
$55 million.
Okay. It'll make that, Matt.
So,
opening weekend, it's already at 20.
That doesn't seem like very much, though.
Wikipedia has it actually at $30 million. So I don't know.
$30
million? Yeah, Wikipedia has it at $30 million, so I don't know.
I wonder which, maybe the other one is accounting for. I don't know where they're
getting sources from.
Well, the other one might be accounting for marketing at 50.
So
maybe it's 30 and 50 marketing.
The budget's $55 million, but Wikipedia has box office right now at 30
million. Oh, okay. I got you. Okay.
Yeah.
Box office, probably more up to date. Well, so maybe.
I don't know where Wikipedia, I mean, it's user based, so I don't know where they're getting their source from, but.
Anybody can edit Wikipedia anytime. So you know that you're always getting the best information. Oh, man. So this movie, was the original movie rated R?
No.
No.
PG-13.
But this is the second one that's R.
Yeah, because Annihilation was R.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was Annihilation R?
I think so.
I'm pretty sure that's what it said.
I'll find it. Here we go. Annihilation. Oh, no, it was PG-13.
Yeah.
97, PG-13.
Oh, I thought that was the 2011 one. What one was that?
Oh, that's like a series or something.
Oh.
Mortal Kombat Legacy.
Yeah.
Oh. That was
a TV series.
I read this was the second rated R one. So what?
It was a TV series that was rated TVMA. And it did have, from what I understood, I never watched it. From what I did understand, though, is it went more into the realms of the bloodiness and
all
that. So there is an anime.
Mortal Kombat.
Scorpion's Revenge. That's rated R.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That could be cool.
I'd be intrigued.
Could be. Came out last year.
If it's good, I would like to see it. If it's not, then that's unfortunate.
Got a 7.5-star rating on IMDb, so.
Yeah, but this movie only has 6.5 so far.
Yes, because no one's rated it yet. It's
better than that.
That's because, unfortunately, this new Mortal Kombat is, unfortunately, with the reviews, it's tanking.
Really?
Yes. On
that's a bummer, that's man.
Dumb. On Rotten Tomatoes, it is actually Rotten certified. Rotten Tomatoes
sucks.
It's certified rotten right now on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, yeah, they're always wrong, though.
So it's getting like a 50%.
People are probably just confusing which Mortal Kombat.
I legitimately think that our rating system is better than Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. No, I.
Where we just say
I agree. I don't like Rotten Tomatoes right now. And I hopefully, as it's now been released to, you know, the actual public, that rating will go up.
Oh, it definitely will.
But the reviews on it are not.
That's just from
I don't know. Critics, like, I don't know if it was critics or user reviews. I just read an article on it that it's certified rotten right now. It's not fresh.
It'll change. So like I said, I watched it yesterday. So today at work, I talked to a few people that saw it. Everybody seems to like it.
I've had a few friends come on Facebook and they're like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
So, and I agree. I think people might not like it because it felt short. Mm-hmm. Like it felt like they really didn't do too much. But you're also building.
You're building a whole franchise.
Yeah, you're building a franchise. Yeah, I want to see another one. You're building everything. And hopefully by the end of the movie, I mean, they set up for Johnny Cage to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cole's off to go find Johnny Cage at this point. And, you know, and then even same thing. He mentions.
He mentions that I have to go find the others.
Well, yeah, it mentions that I have to go find the others. Shang Tsung mentions that death is just another realm and all this stuff, which. Yeah. Made me a little excited because maybe, what's his name? Kung Lao will come back.
As a villain.
He dies. Yeah. But maybe Kung Lao will come back. I love Kung Lao. That guy is.
I do too. I bought the Mortal Kombat Shaolin Monks game for original Xbox.
Oh my gosh.
Have you ever played that? Yes. Amazing. I can't wait to play through game. It. I love that game. So you play through. It's weird because it's not like other Mortal Kombat games. It's
like an open world almost.
It's like an open world beat 'em up.
Where you go and find them.
And you can only play as Liu Kang and Kung Lao. Mm-hmm. Those are the only playable characters until you beat the game. Once you beat the game, you can unlock Scorpion and Sub-Zero for sure. And I think Baraka. And like one other person. I don't remember who. It's another villain of some kind, but I'm pretty sure. But anyway, it
doesn't have like the towers don't exist where you do that, or even the free play, if I remember.
There are boss battles, and the boss battles are like a fight from Mortal Kombat, but the controls are slightly different. You can do, there's like a billion fatalities for there only being like four playable characters in the whole game. There is a crap ton of fatalities built in, and some of them are hilarious. Like I remember one where Liu Kang reaches into this hat and pulls out a rabbit, and then he beats the person to death with the rabbit.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and some of them are funny and some of them are, you know, brutal and all kinds of stuff. But anyway, I can't wait to play through that game again.
I remember playing that for the original Xbox as well.
So this movie, one thing I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on. So the main character, Cole Young, well cast, well acted, I think.
Yeah.
But I also think an unnecessary character.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. I think Sonya and him were my least favorite characters. Sonya just bugged me. I mean, there's nothing wrong with her character. That's what the character is. But I don't know. The actress kind of just irritated me a little bit.
I like Sonya. I didn't mind her.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with any of the performances in this movie.
No, all the performances were good.
I did feel...
But Cole was just kind
of... I did feel some of his lines fell flat. I was noticing there was parts where he was like good at acting, and there's other parts where it almost felt monotone and flat, and I'm like,
yeah.
But
so it's because he's a suitcase.
Yeah.
So like he's basically the surrogate for us to like for new viewers to become introduced to the world of Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And one, I think it's unnecessary because if you're watching this movie, it's because you already know what Mortal Kombat is. And so you're interested in seeing it, right?
Not going to lie. No idea what it was.
What?
Mortal Kombat. Like, I knew it was a video game, knew nothing about the story.
Oh, really? Like the tournament or anything like
nothing.
That?
Nothing. I had no idea what it was. You
never played Mortal Kombat?
I've played it, but it's just like, hey, beat up each other. That's it. I had story. No.
Wow. So, all right.
So,
have you seen the original movie?
No. Like I said.
Oh, you should watch the original movie. Yeah. Don't watch Annihilation, but you should watch the original movie.
Yeah.
It's worth a one-time watch for sure.
I feel like, what's his bucket over here? Wow.
What's his
bucket? Can't remember his name.
Owen Wilson?
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Anyway, so you would have a completely different perspective than Zach and I would, but... basically, his character exists so that they can explain, they have what's a reason on, to explain everything that's going on, which is kind of funny because we pick up the movie and Sonya and Jax don't know. Like, they've learned everything, so she's explaining it to him, I guess. But
she
I don't
pretty
understand,
much has an
like,
idea of what's going on, but yeah, it hasn't been confirmed.
Right, but I think they could have also done that with a different character. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I almost felt like...
Like, why don't they track down Johnny Cage?
Yeah.
Why don't you just cast Johnny Cage in the first place, and that's who they're tracking down instead of this guy named Cole Young? Because he's not even in the games.
No.
I was going to say, Cole felt like almost an afterthought. Like, he's in it for half the movie, and he's the main character, a supposed main character, really. But, yeah, you follow Sonya.
Protagonist.
Yeah, you follow Sonya, I think, even more so than Cole.
Well, at points. I mean, the beginning of the movie focuses all around Cole.
Well, yeah, for sure. But then after that, he's...
Eh. Well, they're together for everything after that. So, I mean,
but he's
right.
Really
Sonya becomes...
There's a little bit of a fight here and there with him. And then there's
once
like when they find their
powers. Yeah, so you're right.
It.
Once Kano is introduced and they like go on the journey, Sonya is more like she takes center stage because she's explaining everything.
Yeah.
So...
But it's just like, hey, let's just make sure he's in the shot.
Yeah.
What I did find weird.
After that, it is more shared. Like, everybody kind of gets their own 5 minutes.
What I did find weird is the fact that Cole is, like, immediately. So, you see Sub-Zero, and he's not really questioning what's going on. He's just like, oh, okay. And then he says, you know, Jack says, go find Sonya Blade. So, he goes and finds Sonya. And then Reptile shows up. And... Again, no questioning whatsoever.
Well, he questions when Sub-Zero shows up. When he gets in the
does
car.
He?
Yeah, so when they're
at
the street.
Oh, that's right. He does say what,
that's like
you know,
the first thing he does is he's like, what the hell is that thing?
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. But
so,
then.
Thanks for saving your life.
Yeah.
Like, that was so bad. Stupid. That was a bad
terrible
line.
Writing like, on that.
Yeah, he did question, but I just felt like there was not. Like, he just kind of started rolling with it. And
what
then,
else are you going
to
do?
Well, and then all of a sudden, you know, he decides not to continue on with Mortal Kombat and wants to go back to his family. And thunder cracks, and he's all of a sudden there. And the wife doesn't even question anything. She's like, oh, okay. And then...
She just saw snow in the middle of July.
I don't
and
know.
Then her
I
husband
just,
go disappearing.
Floating up into the air and then crashing down.
Yeah.
I just felt like there was a lot going on and not enough... questioning
not enough panic question
enough
over
panic,
their reality
like,
being upended
for sure.
Yeah.
As to why this was happening, like you've got all of these, you know, air quotes mythical creatures, you know, coming out of nowhere, and especially Goro, you know, he comes out of the shed, and it's like I just felt like there wasn't really enough questioning
after that scene. She goes, well, we're not sticking around here for another forum monster.
Yeah, that's true. But
Did you guys notice the frost on the window before he shows up?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And then it's like she walks away. When she comes back, he's standing there, but there's even more frost.
Yeah. So did you guys notice they say there's snow in the middle of July and Cole's wearing a sweater, and then it shows outside there's a bunch of people wearing jackets and sweaters.
I didn't notice that.
If that's supposed to be the odd thing, he did a terrible job.
Where are they?
New York, I think.
Huh. I thought it was L.A.
No, because he says he's going to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
I don't know. Maybe it's just a colder time in New York than normal.
July?
I mean, it's at night. They're outside.
Most people don't wear jackets in July.
Well, he's not wearing like a jacket.
He's wearing a hoodie.
A sweater. Well, yeah, I mean, but
the other people in the background are wearing hoodies and stuff, though.
Right, but I mean, that's pretty far north if they're in New York.
They could be up towards Canada. You know, Canada's colder.
No, it's not.
I don't know for sure that they're in New York. If they're in Chicago, it gets pretty cold there.
I've been in Chicago in July. It is not cold there.
It can get cold there. It's called the Windy City, bruh.
That doesn't mean it gets cold. There's a hot wind.
But wind comes in over the Great Lakes and stuff. Yeah. It can get pretty cold.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. But
I'm just saying, like, cold. A hoodie, that's pretty light.
What kind of psychopath wears a hoodie in the summer?
I mean, I don't know.
It was filmed in Chicago, Illinois, so I'm going to say it was in Chicago.
Boom.
I would also agree with you, Zach.
Oh, okay.
I just knew it was some city that was not LA.
High five me. That was a good guess on my part, man. Yeah, I don't know. I could see somebody wearing just like, you know, it's nighttime. If it's a little windy, Chicago, you never know. It could get cold, wind chill, you know what I mean? Hey, so wearing a hoodie seems logical.
I wear long sleeve shirts in the summertime.
Like I said, you're a psychopath. You're a ginger. You don't know what's right and wrong. Hey,
you know what? I just battled skin cancer. And that's why I do that, okay? I got to cover it up.
Yeah, now.
And they just came from his fight. You know, so he's wearing like sweats essentially from like.
Well, yeah, I get him. That's not the argument.
Maybe it's cold in the gym, so they were bundled up.
I'm talking about the people outside at the diner. That's what
the wind. I explained all of this.
Sub-Zero was already coming, so it was cold. So everybody's like, want something. Yes,
it's unseasonably cold.
Yes,
get a jacket, everyone. Let's
get a jacket. It's getting really cold for some reason. Yes.
Just saying, it was odd.
She's eating ice cream. Anyway,
you don't want to know why? Because it's hot outside in the middle of July.
Kids eat ice cream any time of the year.
I don't care. Ice cream in December.
Just saying, it's hot in July.
Anyway, I just don't know how to feel about his character because I do like the character.
Yeah, it's a good character.
I'll say that I don't. He's a likable character, but was it necessary? Probably not.
Yeah, he definitely has these like golly gee willikers moments too. Mm-hmm. You know where it's like, come on guys, we gotta stick together as a team. Oh, yeah. Like, dude, shut up. Like, any of those fighters would slap you for saying that. You know what I mean? Like,
it makes me wonder if the next Mortal Kombat game, if they'll throw him in there.
Oh, they definitely will. Sure. They definitely will.
Yeah, already had plans for that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His suit was pretty cool. Like, he can.
Well, see, I think it is cool energy. At first. At the end of the movie, you can tell it's just like a rubber shirt. Like, it's kind of weird.
Well, I mean, like, his ability to, like, absorb that energy and put it into a hard punch, I thought it was kind of cool.
Yeah. I agree with you that it is cool.
It's a cool idea, but the...
It's also been done before.
Oh, yeah.
In video games, you know, but, like, I don't know.
I don't know anything about that.
Well, not even that long ago, Black Panther's costume does that. That's a recent thing.
That's what I was thinking of, Black Panther.
So
I hopped off that Marvel train long ago.
You're missing
that's out. One that's of the better movies. You should watch that.
I did actually see part of it.
But in my opinion, that's probably the best villain they've done. Hmm. So anyway. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to come up with something to make him unique in this world of Mortal Kombat where everyone has a unique power, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, what do you do with this guy, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I suppose he's like semi-necessary, but for those of us like me and Zach, where we've watched the other movies and we're pretty familiar with the games. And like I said, I'm pretty familiar with the backstory. He's familiar with the backstory. Mm-hmm. Like we don't need this character, but I suppose you needed him.
Yeah.
So
not everyone can have freaking laser eyes. I was gonna
say. that just reminded
me. Did you guys see that?
Just reminded me. That's better than your fireballs, you pussy.
So yeah, Josh Lawson as Kano is the best thing about this movie.
Absolutely.
From the minute he, like, it's funny because like Kano in the other movie is a big dude, like really big.
Big dude.
And this Kano is not big.
It even threw me off too because he's a bad guy.
Uh-huh.
He's always been the bad guy, you know, even in the video games, he's always a bad guy.
Because like when I was watching the show, I was like, oh, he's my favorite guy. He's a good guy. He's going to save the day. And then he turns bad and he's like, he'll come around.
And that's
you were
what
thinking he was going to come back around.
That's what made everything feel right. Because I was like, something.
I felt the same thing.
Feels
I was
weird.
Like,
why is he helping them?
Yeah. You know, I feel the same. I felt the same way about like the obvious reintroduction of Scorpion. Like, because after he dies at the beginning and like you see the flashes of him in hell, it's like, you know, he's coming back and he's going to be a good guy at the end of the movie.
Yeah. Well, you have to, because no one else is going to say, get over here.
Well, yeah, I know Scorpion has to say that. But what I'm saying is in the other games, he's portrayed as a villain, right?
Yeah. Him and that's one thing I was okay with, because in the games, him and Sub-Zero go back and forth.
Yeah, that's
Sub-Zero
true.
Can be a good guy at times and a villain. Same thing with Scorpion.
Well, depending on what timeline, it's also not even the same Sub-Zero.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like his brother or something like that.
Okay, so that's what I was going to ask, because I thought Scorpion and Sub-Zero were from the same family or something like that.
No, they're one of them's Chinese and one's Japanese.
Well, yeah.
So they're from rival like clans from from
that's
feudal
why
era.
Well, Sub-Zero always says for the Lin Kuei, he's from the Lin Kuei clan.
Yeah, well, I picked up on that, but I had heard, I think from Chase, he's super into these things.
Yeah.
That they were like brothers or something at one point.
No, so Sub-Zero does have a brother that they share the mantle of that Sub-Zero.
Oh, okay.
And they kind of go back and forth.
In Scorpion, Annihilation, it's his brother.
Yeah. But
Scorpion is
Scorpion
the same.
Has always been Scorpion.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's also the case, too, is that Sub-Zero from this movie, so the first Sub-Zero is responsible for the death of Scorpion's family, and Scorpion does kill Sub-Zero, and then that's when his brother comes in. So I would imagine in the next movie we'll probably get another evil Sub-Zero, and then maybe his brother, because his brother is the good guy.
Yeah, his brother's the good guy, because that's what he helps him out in Annihilation. He actually is a good guy and helps him out, and they're like, well, you were bad, and this time he goes, no, that was my brother.
He's just bipolar or something.
Yeah. It's there's a whole mess of timelines and it's even a little bit more difficult for me because
you know everything
No, because I played Mortal Kombat 2 on the Super Nintendo like to death. Mm-hmm. And then I think the third one, and then I played Shaolin Monks, and then I want to say I played Armageddon after, I think that was the next one after that. And then I fell away from it until this last one with Mortal Kombat 10. And played that one pretty well. I don't think I ever did the story mode in that one, though. But then I started doing the story mode in 11. And so I'm trying to piece a lot of stuff together. I know I know pretty much the backstory for the most part, but
yeah,
trying to piece some things together. And there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of timelines in the video games that they've gone back and forth and done some things. So
yeah, and like the heroes are from like all throughout time,
yeah,
too. So it's like, it's kind of messy in that way. What was I going to say? I totally lost my train of thought all of a sudden. In Annihilation, they have the Nightwolf character, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I that's what I thought was cool about this one is
the little Easter eggs.
The Easter eggs. They showed Nightwolf. They show, I can't remember his name, but it's the sun god.
The Mayan god.
Yeah,
character.
The Mayan. Yeah, that god character. And then they show Kung Lao. No.
Kung Lao's in the movie.
Yeah, Kung Lao's in the movie. Ching Sung. No, gosh.
Oh, you're talking about
another guy from Mortal Kombat.
Yes.
the warlord.
Shao Kahn.
Yeah.
I have to think of Jungle Book first because I think of Shere Khan, and then I go piece it together from there and go Shao Kahn. Okay.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I would imagine some of those other ones are probably Easter eggs too, because there's been so many characters over time.
Well, and that's what they even mentioned, is that these were winners from previous, you know, because you see Goro, which I'm assuming is his father, because
he's Prince Goro.
And so it shows previous winners from other Mortal Kombats and stuff, so. Because that was Annihilation was the big thing, was focused on Shao Kahn.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
what did you guys think of the graphics in this?
Up and down.
Yeah, they're up and down.
There's good and bad in it, for
sure. I think the downs are forgivable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, like, that's the thing. Like, all the action in the movie is so, so well good. Done and choreographed that when there is some, like, during the fight where he has the ice sword,
mm-hmm.
there's one time where he goes like this, and it, like, just basically appears in his hand all of a sudden. It doesn't, like...
Yeah, form.
Yeah, it doesn't form mm-hmm. like it does the other times. And it's, like, kind of wonky, and you can tell that it's just, like, a prop.
Mm-hmm.
But it happens so quickly, and it's, like, the everything happening up to that point and then right after it is just so great. You know yeah. what I mean? Raiden's eyes... At the beginning of the movie, did not look good.
Yeah.
And then when he stands up from the chair later, I think it does look good. Mm-hmm. But his eyes are all over the place. Yeah. Like sometimes they're okay, sometimes they're not. The lightning teleport effect at the beginning is better than later on. Yeah.
I thought the blood in the very
blood
first
is
fight,
all over the place the yeah. whole movie.
Yeah.
The
where
fight
he stabs the guy in the head and it kind of
just gushes
out.
From
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah. I was so, like, ah, that was a little
yeah,
off.
It's. That is, like, really liquidy. It looks like bad video game blood. That's yeah. what it looks like.
And maybe they did it on purpose.
Yeah,
that's
maybe.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
And it
I
is kind of like
sure.
that through the whole movie. Anytime yeah. someone bleeds, it's like it's this gush.
Yeah.
It's just well, over.
And that yeah. one chick that gets but. Cut in half, like, when it shows, like, her open body, oh, just like in the games, it was like,
yeah,
oh.
That's why I actually half. Thought that was, like, that's Kung Lao's fatality move.
Yeah, the
oh yeah yeah
the
okay
with,
okay
the chick
okay.
with the thing.
When
yeah.
you said in half, I was thinking like
oh, no.
at the waist, so
oh.
I was like,
no.
"How does that happen yeah. to
long
you?"
Long
down
ways,
the middle, but
hot dog style.
yeah,
that did. It looked exactly like the video
yeah,
games.
I thought
and
it was
like,
kind
"That's
of fun.
Actually pretty cool."
Yeah,
you know how they made the brains and the spine look like it doesn't look real at all.
Yeah,
but
so 95 versus modern day again. Do you prefer Scorpion with the bird in his hand, or do you prefer with the knife?
I like the knife.
I also like the knife.
I thought that was cool.
What my one complaint about the knife is, so when he comes back to attack Scorpion and that thing like rips through his arm because mm-hmm. he threw it, and then it shows him and he's standing with his hand like this, and like the rope just like goes into his sleeve. Like
yeah.
mm-hmm. it's cool because then later it like sucks back up in there, but I think it's weird that he's like not holding it.
Yeah.
Like, ready to rip him back. I don't know why that bothers me for some reason. It's like such a minor thing.
You got to do a throwback, though.
Huh?
That's a throwback stance, though. I mean, you got to kind of do
that. It is the throwback stance because he would, like, launch it out of his hand.
Yeah, that's the game thing. Launches out of his hand and holds it up, so.
I do think that it's... That was one thing in the original movie that I always thought was really cool, though. Because when, like, my introduction to Mortal Kombat was the movie.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so when he, like, goes like this, and then instead of, like, this knife spear thing mm-hmm. on a rope, it's this, like, weird, like, beaked snake thing that, like, comes out of the middle of his hand.
Hmm.
And it's, like, sentient. Mm-hmm. It can, like, follow stuff around and stuff. It's pretty cool. Like,
yeah.
to be fair, it was a cool idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why they should just write that in. Although I do think the knife is sick.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty cool.
I kind of like the whole chain knife thing. I was thinking about that as I was watching. I was like, oh, I actually kind of like that idea.
Yeah.
It's almost like the new Spider-Man where he actually, Tom Holland's Spider-Man actually doesn't have the webs coming out of his hands.
Well, yeah, but that's how it's supposed to be. It's like little shooter
yeah.
cartridge
is
things.
That how it is
mm-hmm.
okay because I noticed they did the same thing in the video game the new
yeah so
not
if you
the
watch,
Miles Morales one but the one right
yeah so in
that.
The comic books and in the cartoon he has cartridges
oh okay
yeah that he puts in there and so it was really just the so, Tobey Maguire one they did that so that they would
just screwed up the Tobey Maguire movies every left and right didn't
yeah they were just yeah they did that so that they wouldn't have to write in him figuring out how to make a web or whatever.
Okay.
Because in the Andrew Garfield one, he has cartridges also.
Oh, that's yeah. right. Okay, yeah. that's right.
My Spider-Man shoots him out of his butt like a real spider.
It's gross.
Yeah, but then you can swing around by your butt.
You can grab those villains.
No, I will say this, though. You can't really fault the 95 movie for this. Graphics were 10 times better, especially like I did like the animated Goro.
Oh, yeah.
It looked a lot better than the 95 version Goro, but at the same
95
time.
95 Goro does look cool, though.
It did. The animatronics
and
all that stuff.
And stop motion.
It does look cool. that's the hard thing. Like, if Tom never seen it, the first one going back, he'd be like, this is horrible. But for 95, but for
the time, it looked really good.
It was great. And that's, you know, that's why you can't really fault it that much. But I did like how they animated Goro this time. You know, I felt like it maybe could have been.
That was a cool fight.
It could have been maybe superimposed better to look more realistic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is very CGI monster.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
But I mean, you don't find very many four-armed people around.
That's true.
And who knows? Maybe with the next movie, it'll be better. Maybe they didn't want to put a lot of money into this because they didn't know if it would, you know, go or not. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like $50 million for this movie isn't that much for how much CGI there is.
Mm-mm. So
but it was overall really well done.
Yeah. They do a good job of hiding stuff too, like where they don't need CGI. So like when Cole goes back home, so like Raiden shoots the lightning, he walks through it, but then when it's showing like the view from the kitchen, that's just a strobe light outside the window.
It just flashes and
so, and then he just walks into frame or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. There's some cool stuff. And then like even like the window frost effect and stuff, like when he's when Sub-Zero shows up at the house, like it's already frosted. She walks by, bends over to like pick something up, so she's out of frame. That's a cut.
Mm-hmm.
So then they were able to like dress the door up again,
mm-hmm.
have him stand there. She stands up and walks back past or whatever, smacking my microphone all over the place. So I don't know. I noticed a few things like that throughout the movie where I was like, oh, that's that was a smart way to get around that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Without having to like, so I don't know. I think we'd be surprised. There's probably a good amount of practical stuff in the movie that we wouldn't expect. That's
true. I was, because
like I said, that ice sword is a prop for most of the time we see it.
Yeah.
So,
I was gonna say, I was, however, upset at the tease of smoke.
Oh, yeah, the black smoke coming around, and there's never a smoke.
That's ninja. Like when
I thought he was smoke.
Well,
because he's wearing that black armor.
At what point?
Who's Sub-Zero?
Oh,
yeah. Well, I more so thought when the garage, when they're looking at the garage and you see that black smoke kind of eking out of it, I was like, ooh, smoke. Smoke's going to show up. And then Goro comes walking out. I assumed it was
Sub-Zero because we'd seen so much smoke.
That's what I figured.
With that character already, because like there's the smoke when he fights Jax, when he goes into that room, the smoke like all goes in there with him. And then all the other times he's teleporting, there's smoke everywhere.
About that.
So I am with you that I was hoping for smoke because of all the black smoke everywhere, but then we never see him.
Yeah,
he never that came smoke effect was pretty sweet looking.
Oh yeah, it looked really good.
That was actually that was really well done.
Can you tell me what that stupid like white cylinder thing in the temple was? What was that? Or
I don't know.
I thought that was going to come into play.
Mm-mm. I almost wonder if it's just a form of
like how the shield is generated or
just a generator for maybe when Raiden's not there. I don't know.
I don't like that idea.
Just a, I don't know what it
anyway,
was.
Anyway, well, it's better
I will say answer. This. The Raiden's temple in the second movie is way cooler than Raiden's temple in this movie. Like in this movie,
this temple
I
don't remember. Sucks. It's
like holes in the ground.
Yeah.
I don't remember his temple in Annihilation.
Yeah, it's bad, like CGI and like cutting of an image, essentially. But it looks like a temple, you know.
Huh.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was a lame temple. I wouldn't go to church there.
Just, they're looking for this temple, and it's just three holes.
Yeah,
in the sand,
three massive holes in sandstone.
I will say this: please watch this movie.
Oh
give
yeah,
it, give it for the sure. attention it needs because. I don't want them to cut the second movie because it didn't do well.
Yeah, we want something besides Marvel.
Well, and I feel like if they do a second movie,
maybe we'll get another Street Fighter movie.
Ooh. It is going to be so much better than this first one. Like this first one, they had to set up a lot of stuff, but the characters that they could bring into this second movie.
I want
to
see Johnny Cage so bad.
I want to see Johnny Cage. I want to see Smoke. You know, I
want to see Noob Saibot.
Yeah. You know, you've got a...
Here's a piece of history for you. Noob Saibot is named after the game creators, Tobias and Boone, just spelled backwards.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
That's awesome. Yeah. You've even got... So you've got Noob Saibot. You've got the red and the yellow robots, too. I can't remember their names.
Yeah, Cyrus and something.
And, something else. But there's so much more characters. You've got Nightwolf, if you wanted to try to bring him in.
Who's that guy with the guns? He's in like the, I think he's in either 10 or 11.
Oh, yes.
That guy is rad. It's like something gray or something like that.
No, I just, Ermac. The gunslinger.
Is Ermac the gunslinger? I thought Ermac was somebody else.
No, I'm pretty sure Ermac is the gunslinger. He's the old Western type guy. Is that who you're talking about?
Yeah.
Wait, no. Nope, I'm sorry. I take that back. Ermac is just like another ninja dude.
Oh, that's the red ninja. That's Ermac.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he's, the robot people are also ninjas. It's just like they have different forms.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Hmm.
Let's see.
Again, it's Mortal Kombat, so it's messy. At one point, they were into robots. Aaron Black.
Aaron Black, yeah. There you go.
That guy's a rad character, yes. Man. Hmm. And then there's like this lady who's like half bee. Like yes! A giant insect lady.
Yes, she's actually really cool.
There's some cool characters for sure.
Hmm.
And I would like to see some of them, you know. Definitely the ones that are easy to do, like the gunslinger character. Yeah. That's easy, man. Do that for
Give
sure.
Give a guy a gun.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Well, and they even mentioned Kung Lao mentioned being trained. Or no, it was it Kung Lao or...
Kung Lao is the descendant of Kung Lao.
Yes.
Which is funny because that's how it is in the games. It's like the exact same name.
No, I think it was actually Liu. Yeah, Liu said that he was trained by a guy named Bo Rai Cho.
Yeah, and he's in one of the games
too. Yeah, he's actually a really cool character as well, and I'd love to see maybe if they could bring him into it. It'd probably have to be a glance back or something. Yeah. I don't know, but...
I thought for sure we were going to get a flashback for his story when they were telling his origin story, and then we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like maybe harrowing is the wrong word, but like you would assume that like Liu Kang would get a legit backstory flashback or something, you know. Mm-hmm. He's an important character.
He's a very important character.
And then he doesn't get one.
Yeah. You know, I know they showed a glimpse of Shao Kahn, but I would love to see if they could cast that and bring that into something, bring that into play. But you know, then you got Baraka.
Oh, Baraka's
awesome.
What a crazy character.
Yes.
Like,
because he's the guy with the
like spears. Bones that stick out of his stick out of his hands. Yeah. He's like a shark and a praying mantis or something. Well, I mean, that's not what he is. That's just what he reminds me of.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of cool characters.
So I don't know. I feel like if you get a second movie going, it's just going to be that much better. You've already set up the storyline. You don't have to go back and make introductions like... we'll see.
So, I don't know. I mean, we said spoilers, but we really didn't spoil that much about it.
No.
Just a death here or there. And, I mean, it's Mortal Kombat, so people are dying all over the place.
Yeah.
Kano is hilarious. I think the funniest thing, in my opinion, that he says in the movie is when he's talking about, whoa, am I going to get, like, superpowers or something? Yeah. Is that what's going on here? And then later he's like, so this whole superpower thing, it's kind of like a crapshoot, right? Like, I mean, you could get something cool like lightning or fireballs, or you could end up with frisbee hat, like this loser over here. Like, so funny. I wanted to say the reptile in this movie, compared to 95, way cooler in this movie. Way cooler. I agree with you that I like him better as a ninja.
Yes.
But again, there's like so many ninjas in the Mortal Kombat universe. How did you... I really loved the effect where Scorpion does the Spitfire.
Yeah.
And like it burns his face away.
Burns his face out.
Because in the original game, he tears his face off. So it's just a skull, and then he breathes fire.
Yes, and then he's
it's a sick move. And so when he did that and started breathing fire, at first I was disappointed he didn't rip his face off. Because even in 95, he rips his face off.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
It was
like
awesome.
That, and then breathes fire. But then it like burned off the bottom half of his face. And that was a pretty cool effect. It could have looked a little better, but I'm happy with it. It was a cool idea.
Yeah,
like the way they did it was super cool.
That's why if you remember after it happened, I was just like, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was...
The fan service stuff they decided to deliver on was all very well chosen, I thought.
Oh, yeah.
I think one of my favorite lines of the whole show was when Cole is talking to Sonya and he says, well, where's your mark? And then out of the background, you hear Kano go, wah, wah. Or oh, yeah. She says she doesn't yeah. have one.
Wah, wah. Wah, wah.
Yeah, that's when I knew this movie I loved needed him. Yeah, yeah, he was the best thing about the movie.
Between that,
stole
or
the show,
or when he asked them about that, he's like, "Wait a minute, did you just spit fire out of your hands? When am I gonna get this?" And he comes up and he puts his hand on the side of him, starts explaining to him. He
what
goes,
the
fuck? Just that quiet, like, did you just touch my arm?
Yeah. When the Sonya goes into that fight pit and he's like, "You don't have the." Whatever power he goes, oh, F.
He's like,
no, F and whoops. Whoa, yeah, that's what it was. F and whoops.
So he's just ripping on her the whole movie, uh-huh. man. Oh, it's on so everyone. Funny.
Hey, top knot, Pesanagril.
Oh, man. Why don't you become one of those silent monks and shut up? Oh, man. Yeah, he has all the best lines in the movie. It's kind of a shame that he dies the way he died and then they don't show, like, his body get covered in smoke because he might just be dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So he might not come back, which is super unfortunate.
Yeah.
Because I would love, like, a sparring of words between him and Johnny Cage in the next movie. Oh, yeah, I want to see
Johnny
that so
Cage
bad.
Is about the exact same way.
Yeah.
And...
Maybe why they don't bring him back.
Yeah.
It kind of explains. I mean, I guess it makes sense because he also dies in the first Mortal Kombat movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
So Sonya ends up snapping his neck.
But in the games, he's around, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's around in all the games. But
he can't come back after this one. His eyeball got short-circuited. No power.
Yeah. He'll just modify it or something.
Yeah, I'm intrigued. Like I said, they've teased a second movie and it's got to happen. Like,
yeah.
I think, you know, whether it goes, whether it goes on from there, hey, you know, let's see what the second movie does. But I enjoyed this one enough that I would love to see a second movie.
Yeah, I would too. Real quick before we close this off, the Jax arm shatter scene.
Yeah.
That's sick.
That was cool.
Really, it shows cool. like the blood in the ice and stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then how wimpy those first animatronic arms are. That's hilarious.
Are you effing for serious over here?
Is that coming on our team?
Is that coming in men's size?
I kept waiting for a T-Rex joke of some kind because they do look so tiny.
Oh, uh-huh. Yeah, for sure.
He was also the most jarring power, I thought. You know what I mean? Like when it shows like all of a sudden... Like he's trying to lift that boulder off of Sonya, and then all of a sudden he's like Transformer.
Yeah.
Like I was waiting for that sound, like the, you know what I mean? Like to happen, and it didn't, but
yeah.
It was just weird that that's like how he got his powers. Cause that is one deviation they made from the games because like some of them have legitimate powers and then other ones, like we were saying in the original movie, Kano has that like red thing over his eye. He doesn't shoot lasers out of it in the original movie. It's just like,
it's just
a fancy viewfinder, what do they call those things? A monocle? It's like a fancy monocle.
Yeah, it's just something happened to his face and he just, big metal thing.
But like in the games, I'm pretty sure that's like an augmentation he had done.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like it's like a cyborg augmentation.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Jax, like, he has that surgery to have those arms made. You know what I mean? So I think it's, you know, and Sonya uses actual tech to like shoot stuff off of her arms and stuff. And now it's just magic. Everything is magic.
I think
you like hate it. He loves it.
I was going to say, I kind of like the thought process behind it.
Well, like,
you know, you need to,
I understand the reason they did it was because it's like, the fighters have to go through something, but at the same time, like maybe they lose a fight, they don't die. You know what I mean? And then they have to figure out a way to win. So Sonya comes up with these wrist bracelets so they can shoot these things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some of them can have powers like the Liu Kang and Kung Lao with the magic hat. I have no problems with that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, just give Kano like, and Jax real mechanics. You know what I mean? Like just have them have actual mechanicals. I don't see the problem with that. Instead, it's all magic, so everyone has magical stuff.
Which, what did they call it again? They use the specific word for it.
Like a chakra or something like that?
Yeah. Can't remember the word they use for it, but yeah, it's like your inner mana or whatever.
Yeah.
Or rana or something like
that. Yeah. And so, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, they wrote it that way because it's just easier, you know? And they were trying to, you know, they're constrained by time. Yeah. They're trying to speed things up, and it would take longer to see, like, how everybody got all this stuff, you know what I mean? So it's easier to, like, just show these quick little things. It didn't even show Sonya's.
Yeah.
Did you guys notice that? Like, she kills Kano. The dragon thing appears on, like, her arm, and then just the next time we see her, she's shooting lasers off of her wrist.
I almost wonder if... Because she wanted this so badly.
She was already ready.
She was pretty much ready immediately because she had, you know, she just never had a chance to really get the Mortal Kombat symbol.
Yeah.
Never had a chance to get the dragon. So I just
she's kind of a villain, if you think about it. Like, she's hunting down people to kill them to take their mark.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then she just couldn't do it for whatever reason with Kano. Yeah. She, like, just captures him. And then she just kills him. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
She's all over the place. Yeah. Her character motivation is way off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I would love to see, like, how she talked about how, you know, a few years ago we had our, you know, she was saying her and Jax got raided. And Jax, that's how he got his symbol, is because he killed someone. I want to know who these people were. Mm-hmm. Like, are they just random people? Were they actual legit Mortal Kombat characters that, you know, we could have seen or known about?
I don't think that they'll waste a legitimate character. You know what I mean? Like, someone fans would want to see, like a Shao Kahn or a Nightwolf, a Noob Saibot. They're not going to burn them off.
Yeah.
Like, those ones that we saw, like the Sun God and Nightwolf and Shao Kahn, if there is another movie or a third movie, they will eventually show up on screen. I bet you.
Yeah.
They're not going to, like, because, like I said, the timeline for Mortal Kombat is messy, right? Because it's like throughout time there have been these warriors, you know what I mean? And then, like, when people die, it's just another portal. So, like, any of them can come back, you know what I mean?
I'd almost kind of like to see a storyline where maybe one of, like, maybe someone does come at, like, Noob Saibot, you know, maybe comes walking out and Sonya looks at Jax and goes, wait a minute, didn't you already kill him? You know, kind of piece that together and go, oh, that's who he defeated.
Yeah.
You know, those many years ago. Kind of a cool storyline if they did it that way, but
yeah, I'm down to see another one.
Yeah. Do you want to know some of the casting they almost went with?
Sure, yeah.
Vin Diesel.
Ugh.
Megan Fox.
Ugh.
Robin Shu. Daniel Wu.
Wait, Robin Shu.
There's a bunch of these people that I don't actually know what they look like, but the name sounds familiar.
That name is very familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, that's he's from 95.
Oh.
Yeah, that's Liu Kang from the first movie.
Yeah. There you go.
Dang, we missed out on Robin Shu.
Daniel Wu.
I almost wonder if they didn't do that because
people might say they're linked.
Might link it back to the other ones.
Sounds like a lot of the people actually wanted to come back for it.
Mm-hmm.
Manu Bennett, Scott Atkins, Jason Momoa, Tony Yaa, Ronda Rousey, Michael Jai White. Liam Neeson.
Oh, that's a Michael J. White. He's a Spawn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
What, as Raiden?
Yeah. They're going to do a whitewash Raiden again.
That's crazy.
Hmm.
And then.
I mean, I could have seen it work, but I like this Raiden better.
Yeah, me too.
Jean-Claude Van Damme's daughter was supposed to be in this or auditioned for the role for Melina. Or is that her name right?
Melina,
yeah. Mm-hmm. But then she didn't get it, but she was seen training for this role on the Jean-Claude Van Damme show, I guess. But it says...
I love Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. But it says in 2011, but I don't know if that's when that show started, because that would be way too long.
Well, I mean, it's possible that she, like... was trying to get into the show. No, not that's for the movies. I mean. She was probably trying to get on the show.
Yeah. And then the previous role of Kano, whatever that guy's name was, for Mortal Kombat Legacy, the series, I guess, wasn't interested in doing so, but he died before production began. And the previous actor that played Kano before that in the 95 film died in 2003. So maybe.
Well, I'm glad we got the Kano. We got he's the best one.
Don't look for him in anything else. Apparently, he dies. The actors.
Oh.
Two of the Kanos.
Oh, died. He hasn't died. You're just saying the other two died. So it's like a cursed role type thing. Okay, I see what you're saying. I was like, he's dead already? This movie just came out.
Didn't even get a joy of that fame.
The Aztec warrior guy was Kotal Kahn.
Kotal Kahn.
That's his name. Couple Easter eggs that I this is actually kind of cool. I didn't catch these. At Raiden's temple, Kano tries to steal an amulet.
Mm-hmm.
That amulet belongs to the other god Shinnok. Another artifact seen is a blue steel fan. That is actually Katana's, who is Melina's twin sibling.
So Hiroyuki Sanada tried to prepare for his role as Hanzo Hasashi, Scorpion, by just playing Mortal Kombat video games. He says, of course I was beaten every time. I just kept losing and losing. But he kept at it to keep learning the stories and the background for the characters. He said it was a ton of fun, even though he never won.
So the guy who plays Cole is a professional kickboxer and Muay Thai fighter. That's pretty cool. So he had some experience already being an MMA guy.
The amulet Kano tries to steal belongs to the elder god Shinnok.
Zach just said that.
Oh, you did? Mm-hmm. I totally wasn't listening to you. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
I did. I was just on autopilot.
You even mentioned this before. Kind of, but this is another throwback to the game creators. Cole took a title from Eddie Tobias. The name is...
Portmanteau.
I was going to say thank you.
The name is what?
Portmanteau. It's like
A
mixture of names of the Mortal Kombat creators Ed Boon and John Tobias.
Yep. That's Noob Saibot.
Yeah. That is freaking awesome. Lyndon Ashby, who played Johnny Cage in Mortal Kombat 95, revealed that he would actually love to come back as another character. Make a little scene.
So there's a thing on here that says that fans made a campaign for Bren Foster to be cast as Kano. Do you think that's a typo? It's supposed to be Ben Foster? Because he would look that part a little bit.
Who's Ryan Foster?
Bren Foster.
Oh.
I think they just added an N on or an R on accident.
So is it B-R-E-N?
That's what it says on there. But
Bren Foster is a legit guy.
What?
He is off of... He plays Mad Max in the Mad Max video game. He voices him.
That's who
he's actually. Yeah, they portrayed him after.
But if you look, I think
Deep Blue Sea 3.
Yeah.
He is not in. He's not in anything of mentioning. Yeah,
but Ben Foster looks very much like the character.
Well, he has. He doesn't currently though. Like he's a much smaller guy too.
Well, yeah. But I'm just saying, I didn't know if it was a.
He's a great actor. He probably could have done it.
Yeah, I just had never heard of Bren Foster. I didn't know if that was a typo or not.
The issue with Kano, though, is Kano is Australian.
Yeah.
And so.
So the last two people that played him were English, apparently.
Well, they sure sounded Australian.
But that's because they all talk like this.
And that's where Bren Foster comes in. He's actually an Australian actor.
Oh, okay.
When I remember you, I don't remember you like this. I remember you like this. Oh, man, I love that movie. Or I guess it's a TV show. It's not even a movie. Man. Apparently, there was supposed to be a third Mortal Kombat movie, but it got shelved because of Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's probably for the better. We might not have gotten this one.
It's like a big thing to read on here, but apparently there was a bunch of people set... And hired, including Christopher Lambert was involved in the development of it to maybe reprise his role. Lyndon Ashby, Robin Shue, like a bunch of the original characters from the first movie were maybe going to come back for the third one.
So I'm intrigued on this. I would actually love to see a director's cut of this movie now, because it says the film was initially rated NC-17 upon first submission for graphic violence. Director Simon McQuoid later hired an additional editor to cut down several gory and brutal fighting scenes to achieve an R rating. I'd love to see a...
That'd be kind of interesting.
I'd love to see a director's cut.
There's like four really or five special features loaded on HBO.
Oh, really?
Huh. Yeah. I haven't watched them yet, but... And I might not now, but...
I mean, they're on there. I almost watched one of them last night, but it was just getting late.
That's a bummer, too. The character Rain was added in a script, but later axed. Rain's a cool character. He's just another ninja as well, but still pretty cool character.
All right. Well, that's all I got, I think.
Oh, this was the third film right here called Mortal Kombat Devastation. It was initially developed with Christopher Lambert, Lyndon Ashby, Robin Shaw, Keith Cook, a lot of the original characters. And anyways, yeah, then it was shelved. Yeah, they would have had Johnny Cage resurrected to help the heroes against the Quan Chi and a resurrected Shang Tsung. And then after the third film fell through, the film rights went to Warner Brothers, where it was decided the series would be rebooted. So I don't know how much I would have liked to see that movie or not.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting. Bringing back, you know, especially bringing back Christopher Lambert and, you know, it basically was going to try to bring back all the main characters from the first one.
That's what I said.
You know, oh, did you say that?
Yeah.
I see. I wasn't listening to you either.
All right. Well,
am I the only one that pays attention around here?
That's just, we've been at it for a while now. I think we should probably wind this thing up.
Yeah. For sure.
You want to plug our stuff, Thomas?
Yeah, you can follow us on Instagram at Excellent Movie Adventures, and you can send us email, excellentmovieadventures@gmail.com, or follow us on Twitter, Excellent Movie Pod, and Pickle and Zach are both on those other things.
Yep, at Pix Adventures.
At Z Van Beekum.
Yep. Also, I forgot to push this button for the movie.
Excellent!
I'm going to end this on one last thing. You'd find this interesting. Trish Stratus was rumored for Sonya Blade.
Oh, that would have been sweet.
That would have been sweet.
Yep.
Okay. All right. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Ciao.
Excellent movie adventures.